His name is Dr. Bird, or Dr. Carlton Bird, and he had a great message to kick us off for camp meeting, and I hope to share this message with you today. But before I do, I wanted to go ahead and read from our Bible, the book in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19, where it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, my friends, one of the things that I learned during camp meeting was that God can use anyone. He can use any circumstance. He can use any place. He can use pretty much whatever he like to be able to give someone the opportunity to share the gospel. The reason I bring this up is because in 2024, we will be having evangelism, basically weeks of evangelism, and we need to prepare for that. Many of you may be a little discouraged due to finances. Maybe you don't know where you fit. Maybe you're tired. There could be a lot of reasons why. I think that this sermon that Dr. Bird brings to us is one in which we should take into account, and we should really ask ourselves, Lord, here am I. Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And just surrender our will, basically, to the Lord. I hope that you can enjoy this sermon as well as take it in and apply it to yourself. And know that God is just waiting for you and I to serve one more person here in Brewster, one more person in our church, one more person in our family. He is waiting for us to serve and bring the gospel to the world. And so I hope that Dr. Bird will be able to illustrate that with today's message. May God bless you and have an awesome and amazing Sabbath today. Take care and thank you once more.
So I'm glad to be here tonight, and I praise God for our theme as it centers around service. Serve one more. Everybody say serve.
Serve.
Come on, talk to me like you mean it. Say serve.
Serve.
One more.
One more.
All right, we've got to make it warm in here because it's cool. So we've got to make it warm. Serve one more. And so I'm grateful to be a part of this theme and be able to share this week on the theme. Pastor Omar led us very well in our scripture a little earlier, but I believe repetition deepens the impression. So I'd like for us to read it again, if that's okay. And since I have the mic, we're going to read it again. Amen. All right, so let's go to the book of Exodus. What book did I say, everyone? Exodus chapter 3 is where we want to begin. Exodus chapter 3, and I'm going to read from the King James Version of the Bible. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse number 9, and we're going to read all the way to verse number 15. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 9, and we're going to go to verse number 15. If you haven't, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right, the word of God says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen their oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." Verse 10, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And then I love verse number 14. The Bible says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of whom, everybody? The God of Abraham. The God of whom else, everybody? And the God of whom, everyone? Has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations."
Amen.
Tonight, we want to begin our camp meeting journey in harmony with our theme, Serve One More. We're going to talk about go and serve. Is that all right, everybody? Go and serve. Before we talk with you, let's talk with God. Our Father in heaven, tonight, we are grateful. I praise you for traveling mercies here to the Upper Columbia Conference camp meeting. But not just traveling mercies for me, Lord, traveling mercies for all of your people who have come. As for the next 4 days, we've come to tabernacle with you. Lord, we sense your spirit. We sense the power of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you. So manifest yourself through the spoken word tonight. Less of me and more of you. Forgive me of my sins, we pray. In the name of Jesus, let all those who love him say amen, amen. And amen. Go and serve. So in the book of Exodus, chapters 3 and 4, we find God calling Moses into the Lord's service. But notice, this call is not from a pulpit. This call is not from a conference office. This call is not from a boardroom, an executive committee meeting, or even from a campground. But this call is from a burning bush. Now, this burning bush, we know the story, is not a volcanic phenomenon. It wasn't a beam of sunlight. It wasn't a gas plant that had burst into flames, but it was just a regular bush like any other bush. And while there were thousands of bushes in the desert on this day, what makes this bush special is that God is in it. And whenever God is in something, I believe I've got a witness who knows that no devil in hell can stop it. But the fact that there's a burning bush is not what catches Moses' attention. What catches Moses' attention is that several hours have gone by, but the bush is still burning. So out of curiosity, Moses goes a little closer to the bush, and he looks at this bush that will not burn out. God sees that he has Moses' attention, and so God tells Moses, "Moses, take your shoes off, because you're standing on holy ground." Moses realizes it's God. So he hides his face because the Bible says he's afraid. Everybody say afraid. Why is he afraid? Moses remembers that his service to the Lord in the past has not been stellar. So maybe Moses is thinking, God is here to get even with me. Or maybe Moses remembers doing God's will his way instead of doing God's will God's way. So Moses hides his face in fear of the wrath of God. And so he hides his face because the furthest thing from his mind is that the fact that God is calling him to use him. But that's just like God. I've learned over the years that God is not so much interested in calling the equipped. He's more interested in equipping the called. That's why I tell people who may not know who Carlton Byrd is, look, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. God says to Moses, I've seen my people persecuted. I've seen my people oppressed. I've seen my people mistreated and maltreated and ill-treated. I've seen my people bullied, harassed, and tortured. Enough, though, is enough. Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. Moses says, who, me? God says, yes, you. Moses says, couldn't be. God says, then who? What Moses didn't realize was he was just like that burning bush. God was in him just like God was in the burning bush. And someone tonight needs to recognize that there are thousands of people in the world. But what makes you special is that God is in you. Do I have a witness in this place? That God is in you and God is calling you into service. Now, when God confronts Moses with the call, Moses begins to offer excuses instead of service. And so the Bible says he offers five. How many, everybody?
Five
excuses instead of service. And so I'll share those five, and then I'll sit down. Excuse number one. Moses says, God, why me? Why are you calling me, Lord? I have a colored past. Now, in this first excuse, Moses doubts himself. Moses is thinking, God, you want to use me? Don't you remember? I'm the one who messed up. I'm the one who killed an Egyptian, and then I tried to cover it up because sin must always have a covering. Then the next day, I went to break up a fight between one of my fellow Hebrews, but one of them reminded me that I was a murderer. God, don't you remember? God says, yes, but I never forgot you. But Moses says, God, I'm the one who blows it up. God says, but you're also the one who's been forgiven. I'm calling you, and it's time for you to go back and get my people. Let me remind someone tonight that your past is your past. Your past is good to learn from, but not good to live in. So when your past calls, don't listen because it has nothing new to say. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Excuse number two. God, by whose authority am I being sent? In other words, who should I tell them that sent me? Now, in his first excuse, Moses doubts himself. But in this second excuse, Moses doubts God. But God did not ask Moses to go explain all that he didn't know about God. God just asked Moses to go explain what he did know. So God says in verse number 14, we read it. When they ask you who sent you, you tell them that I am, has sent you. In other words, this thing, Moses, has nothing to do with who you are, but it has everything to do with who I am. The reason why I've learned in ministry some people are not committed to God is because they don't know God. They know about God, but they don't know God, because when you know God, you know the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. When you know God, when you know who God is, out of all the things God can't do, God can't fail, because God is God. God is immortal, which means God can't die. God is omnipotent, which means God is all-powerful. God is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere at the same time. God is omniscient, which means God is all-knowing. God is sovereign, which means God can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, and how he wants. And he doesn't have to ask you or me for permission to do as he wants, because he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first. He's the last. He's the CEO of the universe. You didn't vote him in, and you can't vote him out. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign, because he's God. God says, tell him I am that I am has sent you. So then we come to excuse number three. God, what if they don't listen to me? Exodus 4 verse number 1, the Bible says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, this excuse, what if they don't listen to me? This excuse was totally hypothetical. What do I mean? It wasn't factual. It was a what if response. And let me say this. What ifs are dream killers. What ifs are success slayers. What ifs are vision assassins. Moses says, what if the people don't listen? God says, I didn't ask you that. Just go. What if I don't talk right? I didn't ask you that. Just go. What if I don't pray right? I didn't ask you that. Just go. But what if my past isn't right? I didn't ask you that. Just go. Well, what if I don't have enough money? I didn't ask you that. Just go. Well, what if they don't know me? I didn't ask you that. Just go. Well, what if they ask me a question that I don't have the answer to? I didn't ask you that. Just go. Well, what if I haven't been ordained? I didn't ask you that. Just go. Well, what if I haven't been fully trained? I didn't ask you that. Just go. Well, what if I don't have a college degree, a graduate degree, or a doctoral degree? God says, quit talking about what you don't have and use what you do have and just go. Moses was so concerned about what might happen that he couldn't hear what God said was going to happen. So what does God do? God gives Moses three proofs, three examples of his power. First proof, God asks Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? Moses says, a rod is in my hand. God says, cast the rod to the ground. Moses casts the rod to the ground. The rod becomes a snake, and Moses runs from the snake. Truth be told, I would have run from the snake too. Do I have a witness in this place? Second proof. God tells Moses then, Moses, reach out your hand and touch the snake by the tail. Moses reaches out his hand. He touches the snake by the tail, and the snake becomes a rod again. So here's God. Now, Brother Moses, if I can do that with a stick, imagine what I can do with you. It's important, friends, don't miss this, that God didn't ask Moses to use something he didn't have. He asks Moses to use something that he does have. I wish I had a witness in his place. God says, Moses, what's in your hand? You see, the friends, the fact is, God made our hands without our hands. But it's God's will to use the hands he made to bless others. God uses what we have, and he has never demanded from us what we don't have. God isn't always looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He says, use what you have. Use what's in your hand. Third proof. Third example. God says, all right, Moses, take your hand and put it in your shirt next to your flesh. Moses puts his hand in his shirt next to his flesh, and when he takes it out, his hand, the Bible says, is as leprous as snow. God says, now put your hand back in your shirt next to your chest. Moses does again, takes his hand back out. His hand is as healthy as it was before. Again, God says, if I can do that with your hand, then imagine what I can do with your entire being. Amen. Excuse number four. I can't serve God. I can't go God. Moses says, because I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't speak well enough. Now, this was our excuse was already solved by God's response in excuse number two, where God said, tell them that I am has sent you. God has the authority to say this because God says, I am what you need. And I know what you need because I have what you need. And I have what you need because I am what you need. God says, I am the great physician. I am the rock of ages. I am the lily of the valley. I am the bright and the morning star. I am the fairest of 10,000. I am your burden bearer. I am your heavy load sharer. I am your doctor in the sick room. I am your lawyer in the courtroom. God says, I am that I am. But Moses still says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm slow of speech. I talk funny. Interesting how he may have been slow of speech but fast with excuses. The irony, friends, here is that Stephen indicated in Acts 7 verse 22 that Moses in the first years of his life in Egypt was a man mighty in word and deed. But now he says he's not an eloquent speaker. He's slow of speech and slow of tongue. But I love me some God, because God's got an answer for that. God says, all right, Brother Moses, who made your mouth? Who makes the dumb? Who makes the deaf, the seeing, and the blind? Go, and I will be your mouth, and I will tell you what to say. Upper Columbia, let me be honest with you tonight. Our inadequacies are no problem for God. God made us the way we are. Can you say amen? Amen. You and I will never be good enough. We will never be smart enough. We will never be eloquent enough. We will never be rich enough. We will never be holy enough. We will never be righteous enough. Our righteousness in the sight of God is but as filthy rags. We are all gone to the sheep, all gone as sheep to the slaughter. Think about it, if I recall the biblical role tonight. Moses stuttered. Noah was drunk. Abraham was too old. Josiah was too young. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a lion. Leah was tender-eyed. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Samson had dreads and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. Martha was a worrywart. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Zacchaeus was short. Timothy had an ulcer. Paul was a Christian killer. And Lazarus was dead. But you don't have to be a star to be in God's show. Know that God needs you, and that's all, hallelujah, God needs to know, and you need to know. When Jesus called his 12 disciples into service, these men were not religious scholars. They were not ordained. They were not the most intellectual men. They were not the kind of men you would expect to be hanging around the Most High God. They were blue-collar guys, ordinary fellas, regular brothers, and here is the God of the universe calling them into service, and that's just like my God. He's always calling and looking out for the last, the least, the lost, the unlucky, and the left out. Praise God for his willingness to use people like you and me and these unlettered fishermen. But Jesus saw something in them, just like he sees something in you. He knew what he was doing. He didn't go pick rabbis to be on his team. He didn't go pick the brilliant, the astute, the knowledgeable leaders of Israel. He didn't go to Jerusalem to be among the priests and the elders. No, he went to the Sea of Galilee. He called fishermen, folk who had never been to school, folk who could not speak the king's English. But God relied on something better than formal religion, something better than formal education, better than ritual, better than tradition, better than the way it used to be to the way it ought to be, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Man sees the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. Man sees pretension, but God sees commitment. Man sees degrees, but God sees dedication. And God can call whom he wants, when he wants, where he wants. God uses ordinary people, people like you and me, who are willing to do as he commands, because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Excuse number four is common among Christians, common among Adventists, particularly young people. I can't serve. I don't have the ability. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. People will talk about me. People will criticize me. Let me tell you something about criticism. When you minister, I've learned you will either be in the penthouse or the outhouse. When you minister and you serve God, you will either be in the tower of praise or the dumps of criticism. Because I've learned in ministry, the same people who shout Hosanna at the beginning of the week will be the same people who shout crucify him at the end of the week. When you serve the Lord, you're going to get criticized. That comes with the territory. I've learned it in pastoral ministry. Been in it 29 years. I know I look young, but I'm 51. Come on, say amen. But I've heard it all. If the pastor is young, the pastor lacks experience. If the pastor is old, if the pastor's hair is gray, the pastor is too old. If the pastor has 5 or 6 children, the pastor has too many children. If the pastor has no children, the pastor is setting a bad example. If the pastor is a woman, the pastor is not a man. If the pastor preaches from his or her notes, then the pastor has canned sermons. If the pastor's messages are extemporaneous, the pastor is not deep. If the pastor uses too many illustrations, the pastor neglects the word. If the pastor doesn't tell enough stories, the pastor is not clear. If the pastor uses too much Ellen White, the pastor is legalistic. If the pastor doesn't use enough Ellen White, the pastor is too liberal. If the pastor supports praise team singing, the pastor is too liberal. If the pastor supports him singing, the pastor is too conservative. If the pastor condemns wrong, the pastor is a legalist. If the pastor doesn't preach against sin, the pastor is a compromiser. If the pastor fails to please everybody, the pastor is hurting the church. If the pastor pleases everybody, the pastor has no convictions. If the pastor drives an old car, the pastor shames his or her congregation. If the pastor drives a new car, the pastor has set his or her affections on things of this earth. If the pastor preaches all the time, people get tired of hearing the same preacher. If the pastor invites guest preachers, the pastor's not doing his job. If the pastor receives a large salary, the pastor's paid too much. If the pastor receives a small salary, the pastor's not worthy of much. Friends, we will never be good enough. We will never be talented enough, righteous enough, are holy enough to avoid criticism. But I hear the Apostle Paul saying, but be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors are not in vain. When you're serving the Lord, it's like an open door that draws flies. And the brighter the light, the more you attract bugs. People don't bark at parked cars. People bark at moving cars. Are you hearing what I'm saying, everybody? And when you're moving, when you're serving the Lord, you will attract criticism. But God says, if I can handle a staff, then I can handle some criticism for you. If I can handle some lions in a lion's den, then I can handle criticism for you. If I can handle a fiery furnace for three Hebrew boys, then I can handle criticism for you. When you serve the Lord, you will make mistakes. When you serve the Lord, people will see your flaws. But God says, go. Excuse number five. Moses says, God, send someone else. Regardless of what God tells Moses, Moses still doesn't want to go. So what does Moses do? He puts his foot down. No! I'm not doing it. I'm not going. When you read Exodus chapter 4, you go to verse number 14, the Bible says, then the Lord's anger is burned against Moses. Sometimes God becomes angry at our excuses. God's blessings are withdrawn from those who whine. God has called us to be warriors, not wimps. Soldiers and not scaredy cats. When Moses begs God to send someone else, Moses in effect is telling the Lord, Lord, I don't trust you. This angers God. And the sin of excuses will one day come to judgment. But not only do excuses anger God, but excuses cause discouragement within the body of Christ. Excuses force the few to carry the weight of many. Pareto's business principle is then true, where 20% of the people end up doing 80% of the work. And Satan uses this as a wedge to bring division and discouragement within the body of Christ. We don't need someone else to do what God is calling us to do, because if we let others do what we're afraid to do, then we're probably letting them do what God has called us to do. But you all know the story. God accommodated Moses' lack of faith, but the accommodation had its consequences. Moses was God's person for the job, but God told Moses that his brother would be allowed Aaron to assist him. Remember now, once the children of Israel left Egypt, Aaron got his brother Moses and the children of Israel into trouble, because it was Aaron who led the children of Israel into idol worship while Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. But through it all, we still see a breakthrough. Moses finally responds in obedience. He goes back to Egypt and does what God told him to do. What's the result? Eventually, over 2 million Israelites under Moses eventually walk out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Amen. Go and serve. Go and serve. Moses had a stutter, but God said go. David only had a slingshot and 5 smoked stones, but God said go. Gideon had only 300 men, but God said go. I hear people all the time, Pastor Berg, we don't have enough money. God still says go. We don't have enough people. God still says go. We don't have enough technology. God still says go. We don't have a big church, but God still says go. We don't have any young people, but God still says go. In fact, we only have 1.2 million members in a North American division territory that has over 400 million people, but God still says go. We only have 22 million worldwide members in a global world that has 7.6 billion people, but God says go. We have a great church, great history. I am proud to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I said I am proud to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. In fact, I'm a fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist, paternal and maternal. which means none of you will out-Adventist me. I have eaten more haystacks than you, more grillers than you. I grew up in a home where I kept the Sabbath for 26 hours. Somebody said, what are you talking about? We were taught to keep the Sabbath 1 hour before the Sabbath started and 1 hour after the Sabbath ended because we were taught to guard the edges of the Sabbath. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We've got a great church. Great history. Great buildings. Great institutions. Great people. Great truths. Great fellowship. But if we're not careful, we can become so impressed with our greatness that we forget lost people. We can be so busy singing our own music that we forget they need to hear the song too. We can like it so much in here among ourselves that we forget the people out there. We sing what we want. We preach what we want. We teach what we want. And we become so insulated, so isolated, so incestual that we forget about the great gospel commission that God has called us to do. And he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God says, go, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. God says, go, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. God says, go. If God be for us, who can be against us? God says, go. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It won't work. God says, go. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God says, go. They that wait upon the Lord, God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Run, not get weary. Walk, not faint. God says, go. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. And give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the seas and the fountains of waters. God says, go, because here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. God says, go. For blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Meet me in the city. There are going to be 12 gates to the city. 3 gates to the north. 3 gates to the south. 3 gates to the east. 3 gates to the west. Meet me in the city. The walls are made of jasper. The streets are purest gold. There's no more crying there. There's no more dying there. Meet me in the city. Go and serve. I've got a bad pass. Go and serve. Well, who should I tell them to send me? You tell them, I am that I am sent you. You just go and serve. What if they don't listen to me? Don't worry about that. Go and serve. But I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. I talk funny. Go and serve. Lord, send somebody else. No. Here am I. Send me. Go and serve. And when you go and serve, serve with what you have. Everything that God has given us to finish his work in Upper Columbia, he's given it to us. We just need to go and serve. Father, tonight as we begin camp meeting, as we're talking about service, Lord, we realize that service is the rent we pay for the space we occupy in the world. And you called us in Upper Columbia to go and serve. We're not thinking about our past, we're looking at our future. God, we're not worrying about what we should say. You've already told us what to say. God, we can't worry about what if people don't listen. You told us, I am that I am. We just need to go and serve. Some of us feel we're not good enough, we're not talented enough. God, we've got to go and serve. Send someone else? No. Here we are, Lord. Send us. So as we're together for the next couple of these four days, Lord, put in our minds, put in our spirit, young at heart, male, female, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, God, we must go and serve. Because we're looking forward to the day where, because of our service, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of thy Lord. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go and serve.
Hymn 524, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word.